Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard about the Multiply movement, and if you have been listening to VFN Radio, you have. But Francis Chan wrote a book, Crazy Love.
Mm-hmm.
I just love this guy.
Amazing.
I just love this guy.
Amazing.
You know, you kind of just look at it in a certain way. And he's just been with Jesus. He's just been with Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think his frustration, based on my understanding, was it just wasn't happening in the traditions of men. We're called to multiply.
Mm-hmm.
We're called to multiply. That's what we're called mm-hmm. to do. And that's the journey of Paul that we've been talking about, that he was one and he became many because he went and obeyed God and he multiplied, you know, go forth to multiply and cover the earth. And in this multiply movement, we heard about, you know, disciples make disciples. Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. But today we want to hear, David Platt and Francis Chan talk about, in the Multiply movement, talk about disciple-making, the fruit of being a Christian. Go figure. The fruit of being a Christian. Listen up. You can watch it on Christian Television Network, or you can go to VFNTV.com. Watch it.
Now, a community of guys, folks who are gathering together in the morning, praying together, sharing the gospel, and not everybody. I mean, there's other folks. I mean, I know you guys gather together once a week. Like, when you talk about relooking at what it means to be the church, or I don't know what the best word is. Like, what are the things that are really forefront on your heart and mind when you think about what the church should look like?
Yeah. Well, you know why I love that gathering in the mornings is I have a confidence of these people that they really are believers, that they really are followers.
Mm.
And I think a lot of times when we gather for what we call church, I don't know that I have that same confidence. Because when I read scripture, I see, gosh, when the Holy Spirit enters into a person, there should be some pretty serious life change. Like, there should be a difference between a person who's dead in their trespasses and sins and a person who now has the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead dwelling in them. Like, there should be a marked difference. And I believe I see that. I mean, we've seen it where you go, wow, that's not normal. That person has been turned around. That person is filled with the Spirit. But then there's also such a big number of people that come to these Sunday gatherings where you wouldn't be able to tell the difference by their lifestyle, actions, even words. And so now you're trying to get everyone in this gathering to do something together. And I'm concerned that a lot of them have not really made a commitment to follow Jesus. Like the other day, I just was reading through the book of Mark and I thought, wow, I mean, Jesus just goes to these people, follow me. And that just means whatever I'm asking you to do, you just do it. And you know, those who try to make excuses, well, let me just, and they seem legitimate. Like, let me say goodbye to my
really good
family
excuses.
Or, you know, of course. You get your family
talking.
You're
not going to say goodbye to your mom and dad.
Like,
yeah.
And Jesus is like, well, if you're going to do that, then don't even bother. I'm like, wow. You know, what it means to follow Jesus, to surrender. I mean, that's what we're saying today of walking in the Spirit is, Holy Spirit, what would you like me to say? What would you like me to do? I've surrendered to you. I've died to myself and I want to follow you. I mean, is that mindset, are those, you know, the people that show up on a Sunday morning, is that what they're thinking? Or is it something else that's been created of, you know, repeat after me, pray this prayer, you know, you're not going to hell anymore. I just don't see that in Scripture. I see a follow me. And so for me, gathering with people where I go, man, I see it in their life, it's just a lot different.
So, I mean, that hits something really important, like to call people to make disciples who are not disciples, that's mm-hmm. that's pretty much a dead end. I mean, that I think about one guy in the church that I pastor who he came to the church a few years ago. He'd grown up in the church. He'd done the deal, prayed the prayer, been baptized, and had been involved in church leadership. Like, the church that he came from called us, the pastor of that church called us and said, "Hey, just want you to know, you're getting a great guy. Like, this guy is going to serve your church well. He's going to be a great church member." So he comes, and about a year later, he gets saved. Like, he was not a follower of Jesus. He'd been on every committee, team. He'd done all this stuff in the church, but he'd never become a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as he did, like, this supernatural compulsion was in him. I mean, he started looking around at his life and his workplace. He's a really successful businessman. He says, "How can I use this business to leverage for the gospel, to make disciples?" Him and his wife started taking couples into their homes to start intentionally making disciples. I mean, his wife came out the other day and said, "Pastor, making disciples is better than having grandkids." Like, they are just going at it. And the fundamental change was he became a follower of Jesus. Now, I don't want to say that everybody who struggles with making disciples is clearly not a disciple. Yeah. But when you look at this book, from the very beginning of Christianity, like, "Follow me, I will make you a fisher of men."
Yeah.
Like, every follower, a fisher. Yeah. Every disciple, a disciple maker. So if we're not making disciples, somewhere along the way, we may have missed what it means to be a disciple.
Yeah, my concern is, okay, let me put it this way. Like, there was one time there was, you know, this guy was struggling, you know, sexually, and he's actually even on our staff, and, you know, just decide to go the other direction and walk away from things, and, you know, but still was saying he's still a Christian, he's still a follower, and it was just that whole thing of, I don't want to judge anyone, and I don't know, but at the end of the day, I said, you know, here's my concern, is if Jesus said to him, "Hey, drop these relationships and follow me," he would say no. I'm not going to leave that and just do whatever you ask me to do. Like, he would say no to that, but yet we would still call him a Christian. And that's such a weird disconnect to me. And yet many people would say, "Well, yeah, I'm not ready to drop everything, but I consider myself a Christian. I'm not ready to, you know, I'll grow in that. I'll get there one day, but I'm not there." Like, I just get concerned. I sometimes look at my own life and go, man, this is inconsistent. This is inconsistent. And I'm not saying I even have this figured out. I just really wrestle with that. And there are times in my life when I feel total peace. Like, I was surrendered today. I really did. And so I don't even know what I'm saying right now. I'm just saying I wrestle with this, with what I read in Scripture, and I wrestle with other people, not just out of concern. Like, I love these people. I want to believe that we're going to spend eternity together.
We are having conversations today in our programs. You got to catch them all because there's continuity in what's being said. But this journey that began when this particular awesome encounter, this gift was given to mankind called the Son of God on Christmas. And in that, through this gift of salvation, accepting Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, it puts us all on a journey. God sends us out. And if you missed our earlier program with David Platt and Francis Chan talking about, you know, "I got this difficulty. This is just kind of, you know, I just, you know, we're lacking fruit," the fruit aspect of it, you know. Nobody can say it like Francis. But he was talking about, in the context of this, and this is so relevant, that David said, he's pastoring one of the churches, and a man says, "I got a great guy for your ministry. He's been working with us for years, and I think it'll be great for you. So he comes over there and he spends a year with them. And at the end of the year, he gets saved. And he's like, how long has he been in the church and not knowing Jesus?
On committees and serving.
Yeah, and we do it in justice, and it shocks. It shocks folks to tell them, first of all, the church is not a building. It's people. Mm. Secondly, if you're not a believer, you're not part of the church. It's not like you're not welcomed. Everybody's right. Laying their life down so that you can be. But you can't join a roll call. You can't put your name on the books and all of a sudden now you're in. It's not a click a club, and it's not a. It's a people that gather. It could be in anything, and so you can be fooled in thinking. Because you're showing up at a building, and granted, I know, you know, we're beginning the journey to hopefully take the vocabulary back, and this is where you got really confused. They told you, you need to go to the church, you need to go to the church, you need to go to the church, you need to go to the church. Now, the person who's talking to you, if they are a believer, what I'm telling you is they are the church. But they send you to this building, this organization, this whatever. And so finally, you know, you made up their mind, I'm going to go. I'm going through all these troubles and all this difficulty in my life. I'm going to go to the building. I'm going to go to the church because this person has told me, and I'm seeing their life is different. But they're telling me that this organization in this building is the answer. Mm-hmm. And so you show up because they could have led me to the answer right where I was. They could have led me to Jesus, but instead they led me to the building. This is how you witness. You say, you need to come to church. So you can't come. You can't just come to church. I mean, come on. This is what's causing these difficulties that Francis Chan and David Platt are talking about. You have to become the church. You can invite people to know Jesus. And if you don't know him, it's going to be difficult for you to introduce people to them. That's why you want to invite them to a building. You know, they need some better behaviors in their life. You know, they need some better. My life will be better if they start living out Christian principles, right. You know, type thing. And it's like, so then they show up at the building and they go, hey, I can do this. I can do this thing. And this is what they told me all for 3 years. I need to go to the building. Mm-hmm. And I sit there and all these people stare at me, wondering if I'm going to get it and not knowing that they're actually they have the answer. Jesus is in them. And finally, I think, well, I'm just going to do what they're doing. You know, what time do y'all have this and what time do you do that? And I can do this and I can do that. Next thing you know, it's just like this guy being sent to David Platt. That they're doing all this stuff because that's what they were told, just go to the building. They weren't introduced to Jesus. They were introduced to an organization, to a denomination, to a concept, to a building program, to an administrative situation. And all of a sudden, you can be hanging around in the context of that and find out you don't even know Jesus. Thank God you found out this side of the grave. Mm. But the injustice is where we've been telling folks that the answer is you just need to go to church. Mm-hmm. Right. You just need to go to church. It's like they even had a video out. It's like, it's time to go to church. Go to church. We got a Starbucks. We got a this. We got a that. Right. We're teaching from our laptop. You just got to go to church. And they even talk about in this little video thing, they think it's humorous. And, you know, even so-and-so, she plays the organ, and she runs this place. She runs the city. And they go, It's like, oh, how blind we are. And so, and the thing is that we as believers are the church. So when somebody says, you cannot, if you're not a believer, you're not part of the church. They're not saying you're not part of a building. You're not part of the building of God. Mm. That's what they're saying. They're saying you're the only way you can be a part of the church is to be a believer. Mm. It's the body of Christ, to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. But it's so sunk so deep in the DNA of America that folks in America, they're convinced that the building is the church. As a matter of fact, they pass by it, drive past it, totally empty, and they have their friend, you know, in their car with them. They look at it, that's our church. That's our church. No, the guy didn't even know that this guy was a Christian until he passed by this building and they pointed at it. You know, and said, right. that's the church. It's like, no, that's a building. But when you show up there because Christ is in you, when two or more of you gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of it. So you're the reason why the Lord shows up, not because of that brick and that mortar or that crystal or that wood or stucco or whatever it's made from. But so it's like, my goodness, that means then this, my friend that I was driving in my car that I pointed there as the church, then he was actually with the church all week long at the office.
Right.
I don't need to point him to that building. I need to point him to the Christ in me. I need to live a life before him. All those accusations I had towards that building and these judgments I had toward these buildings, the truth is when he says that this ought not to be so, you should not have temples and idols in the temple, and we're the temple and the building of God, God's talking about me. He's talking about you. Mm-hmm. So living our life as the church that we are will help folks out. Well, if we just keep on trying to make people feel good and say, hey, you're a part of this church, we're sending them to hell if they don't find out. I mean, look how long. Good thing this guy had more life than he did, you know, deception that was happening around him.
No doubt.
You know, and the thing is that, so when you hear somebody say, you know, you cannot be a part of the church if you're not a believer, they're not being mean to you. They're saying, hey, become a part of the church. Become a believer. Become a believer. They're not going to sell you a bill of goods. They're not going to lie to you. They're not going to just keep you around as a quote, as one particular man said, as a giving unit.
Wow. It's like, or decoration, you know. In fact, you should feel good that someone loves you and cares enough about you to share the truth, because you want to know. That's not a time to question when it's all over whether you were in or had a relationship with God.
Right.
You want to know on this side.
And what's so cool about that is, so if that building, whatever it is, goes or comes, if your government changes and comes or goes, nations rise, nations fall, if people leave you and don't leave you because you become the church, you never are not the church. Mm. You're never not at church. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're with Christ. And so when two of you gather together, he is in your midst. Whether you're in a building, a coffee shop, or a storefront, or whatever it is, he's in your midst. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes church the body of Christ. Because I know that they've discovered what caused a lot of difficulty overseas when the missionaries were out winning people in different nations, especially third world nations, is they would try to communicate the American gospel.
Right.
And so you got to have a building. Mm. And it would destroy them because that was totally outside of they could not sustain something, which was really good, because that's actually where the church is mm-hmm. miracles and movement and salvation and all these awesome things are happening in a rapid way. And they just found out you need to just preach Jesus, preach the word to them, teach them to make disciples, and then loose them.
Get out of their way.
And the church just happens. It just happens. But as long as you think it's in that building up the street, I'll never forget where I was in the sheriff's department, and I was a deputy, and we had to do some training for tactics for arresting folks and all of that. And I wasn't a believer yet. Mm-hmm. And so we went to a church property, or they had a building property that mm-hmm. a church met on, and there was a church building there as well. And that's how I kind of saw it at that particular point. And we said, well, this is a great place. There's all this property right here. We'll practice our techniques here. I mean, it's the law enforcement. Mm-hmm. But this man comes out and he just freaks out. What are you doing on this property? You know, the liability of you guys doing this kind of stuff, you know, wrestling or whatever mm-hmm. we were doing, taking mm-hmm. things from each other. And we got ran off because that man believed that that building was the church.
Wow.
And he was protecting it when he actually was the church. And he could have came out and he could have won these law enforcement officers to God. Mm. He could have witnessed to us. But he was thinking about protectionism of that piece of building instead of the fact that, hey, if you want to go out and get the harvest, a whole wad of officers just showed up in your front lawn. Go preach Jesus. Go be the church.
Lord, forgive us.
Yeah. And how often is that happening where people are just constantly saying, this is how you witness. You just invite people to church. Hmm. If it's that easy, why don't you invite them to know Jesus Christ?
Right.
Why don't you just invite them? And if they say no, don't invite them to your gathering. They've already made a decision. Jesus says, to dust the dust off your feet and move on. They mm-hmm. didn't reject you. They rejected mm-hmm. God. Don't bring them in to a gathering of believers when they said, I'm not a believer, only for them to be used by the adversary to damage or harm the people who are believers there. Yeah. Or maybe get caught up in this whole concept of they think that they are because you convinced them that they were. Some people say yes, and some people say no. You read Howard Pittman's encounter in his book, it's called Placebo Gospel, mm-hmm. he talks about when you really study the word and looked at the statistics and the numbers in Jesus's parable and the people that parables and the people that Jesus taught to himself, that like 75% said no to Jesus.
Mm. Yeah.
You think about it.
Jesus.
Right.
Said no to Jesus. Right.
Right.
And he says, you know, just dust the dust off your feet. And you understand sometimes the best thing you could do for folks is just to ask them, let them hear their answer and honor their answer and move on. It gives them a chance to rethink that. Mm-hmm. But if you cause it to be all blurry and go, well, I'm sure you didn't mean that. I mean, who wants to, you know.
Deny like, themselves.
Yes, right.
Yeah. I understand. I'm struggling with the same thing, in fact.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Right.
No.
Right. And besides, we have a great musical coming up. It's a great musical coming up, and you'll really be entertained by it. And 82% of us really believe this musical is for us anyway. So,
wow. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
According to George Barna. And so I mean, begin to rethink this. As we're entering into this new year coming up. Begin to think about, and if we're in the year now, think about this, that Jesus is sending us out to be the church. And when we go out to be the church, understand that means that we are sharing about Jesus Christ, and we're not inviting people to a building, we're not inviting people to a church, we're inviting them to be the church, we're inviting them to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. And they may say yes, and they may say no. I mean, sometimes we can do a poor job at presenting the gospel. They say a person has to hear, some people say, seven times. They have an encounter seven times where they begin to, and you think about it, it softens their heart. Mm-hmm. That's why we have VFN Radio and VFN TV, and we're broadcasting all over the place because we want to soften the hearts and just continually I want you to hear more and more about the awesomeness and the love and the kindness of God, the goodness of God, so that you may make a decision for God. And say, you know, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And my goodness, you got to, if you haven't yet got Arise, Shine, Children of the Day, for your Light Has Come, you've got to get that series. You go to VFNTV.com and go to the store and get that series and begin to hear this because we as the church are called and we're sent just like Jesus was sent. He says he has sent us. Now it's time for us to be imitators of him, kind of like Paul did. And to go on this journey. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households. All around the world. It is amazing. Make sure if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsors and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.